And we're going to talk about Psalms chapter 1. So pick up your Bible right now, put it on pause if you need to go get your Bible, and join us as we read together. And I'm going to read with you, and then we're going to talk about it as I read, however the Holy Spirit wants me to interject. You know, there's a scripture in the Bible where it talked about in the Old Testament where the people were given instruction, but they were like scratching their heads, like, how do I understand that? And then they gave interpretation. So it's okay to transliterate what the word says to you. So I'm just going to share with you what God has laid upon my heart. You're going to come up with your own definitions and your own revelations, but I'm going to just help stimulate that to hopefully let the Holy Spirit guide you and walk you through. So I'm going to read it, and as I continue to read it, I might interject or I might not. We'll see what the Lord has today, because this is all about Him. Psalm 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. I got to stop there for a minute. First two verses. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Now, we can talk a lot about counsel. So some people get counseling from the secular, and you're a Christian, you should really be getting counsel from a Christian counselor. And so we do offer ministry here. I'm not a counselor. I don't have a degree, but boy, have we seen a lot of people be healed and restored and delivered. Matter of fact, I had a lady come here one time, and she had been going to a psychiatrist and spending thousands, I mean upon thousands of dollars to help her. She was here for 3 hours and never had to go back to the counselor again. Now, isn't that better? And it was free. So, you know, the Lord is free. He says, I freely give you all things. All you have to do is believe. All you have to do is receive. He gives us so much for us to grab a hold of. And this is one of those things. You are so blessed if you don't get counsel from the world. If you don't get counsel from the television set or from Facebook or from the web or whatever it is you're trying to get counsel from, go to the godly counselors. Now, they're not perfect either. Again, you might have had some bad experiences, but God is your main counselor. Matter of fact, the Holy Spirit is your counselor. He even says that the Holy Spirit will counsel you. He will guide you. He will direct you. Now, recently, I've been working on changing my eating habits and wanting to be more healthy. And even though I'm not really heavy or anything, I still want to feel better. And so I started to connect with people that knows a lot about nutrition. And I thought, you know what? They want to charge me about $100 a month or something like that, or whatever it is they charge to get this information. And the Lord said to me, I've got all the information and it's free. You know what He just done with me is that I began to use Him as my go-to for everything, all that I need as far as food and intake and such. So now I ask the Lord as I am walking through the day, what do you want me to eat today? Let the Holy Spirit guide us, and He will show you, and He will tell you. He doesn't hit you over the head if you ate a cookie, okay? But you do know what is in your heart, what to eat and what not to eat. And you know what? We aren't to deprive either. But one of the scriptures that comes to mind, it says when David was eating and he decided not to eat the dainties of the king, you know, the cookies, the pastries, and all the goodies that are out. He ate pulse, which was more of a vegetable, seeds, things like that. More from the earth that the Lord has made. And his countenance and his health was way far greater outstanding than those that ate off of the king's table. So I have to ask myself daily, am I eating off of this king's table, which is what the world provides, the mad diet, modern American standard diet, or are we going to eat from what God has created? That is a choice we all have to make. I'm not telling anybody what to eat or anything. I am just telling you what I have to do. I have to ask God daily. Now, I don't get it all right, because sometimes I'll grab a bag of potato chips and just eat a bunch of potato chips. And I don't beat myself up about it either. because every day is a new day. His mercies are new every morning. And so he continues to work with me and work with me. And now I'm walking better. I'm eating better. I'm feeling better. It took me months because I was so stubborn. I was addicted to sugar. I was addicted to goodies. I was addicted to eating late nights. You know, addiction is the devil's playground. And so as I began to remodel and rechange the way I think about things, whether it's food, whether it's where I go, it's whether I watch on television, all these things is systematically being pruned out of my life. And I love it because it's not that I'm losing anything. I am gaining more than I've ever lost because I'm gaining the peace. Now, I had a friend tell me, she says, I would pay $1 million just for peace of mind. You know, you can have peace of mind by just doing what I'm saying. Let the Holy Spirit guide you. Again, you're not going to hear him 100% right. You're not going to get it. That's why Jesus came, so that we can go to him and say, oh, I messed up. Forgive me. Help me next time. That's what this whole life is about. I was watching a movie last night. It's called Something a Little Different That Is Me or something like that. It's about a man who is homeless, but at the end, it was a true story. It's a very good movie. At the end, it was a statement he said, and it really stuck to my heart. He said, everybody on this planet, whether rich or poor or in the middle, are all homeless because they're all finding their way back home. I think that's a beautiful statement because that's something my husband has told me many, many times. Linda, you help people go home. And that means we are preparing hearts to be ready for when the Lord calls us home or when he comes and takes us, however he decides to. And I love that because we are now being guided and led by the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit as he guides us home. The choices we make every day is one step closer to home. Whether it's what you see, eat, feel, experience, it's all part of your journey. So it says the blessed is the man that walks. Aha, look at that. Blessed is the man that walks. That means somebody who's moving. You know, you can't drive a car unless you put on the gas. You can sit there and turn the key on and knob. You can start the engine. You can spin the steering wheel. But if you don't put the foot on the pedal, you ain't going nowhere. And you aren't going to be led and guided anywhere. So the person that walks is a person that's going to be moving. So if that is you, if you're thinking, you know what, I ain't moving. I'm not going anywhere. I'm just sitting on my couch, you know, kind of hoping God shows up at the door. You better start walking. Because what he does is every step you take, he guides and directs your step, you see. So if I take a step and I want to go this way, he'll go, whoop, whoop, nope, we'll go right here. So see, you've got to move so God can direct it. That's faith. That's going out and going and walking and being and doing all that you want to do. Because then he guides and directs you in those things. It says, but his delight, a person, like you and me, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. All right, so we talk about the law. This is Old Testament, and they had, the Ten Commandments and about 3,000 laws that, you know, went alongside. But the truth is, as New Testament Christians, there's only one command that the Bible talks about that we are to obey, and it fulfills all the precepts, all the laws, all the guides, all the regulations that are written in the Word. And it is Matthew 22:38-40. It says, we are to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love others as we love ourselves. Upon this hang all the law and the prophets and whatever they taught on, whatever the Ten Commandments were. Because if you loved your neighbor, you won't covet your neighbor. You won't steal from your neighbor. You won't kill your neighbor if you really love. So we're to really get this love in our heart. And it says that we will meditate day and night. Okay, so does that mean we have to sit like this, our eyes closed, day and night, and not move? No, because we're supposed to walk, right? We're supposed to walk, and we're supposed to move, and we're supposed to meditate. Okay, how do we do that? In every thought, The Bible says, take your thoughts captive and submit every thought to the Lord. As you do that, you're meditating. If you have a scripture you love or you like to sing a scripture, that's meditating. Keeping God in your forefront of your mind as you wash the dishes, go to work, that's meditating. It's your heart condition. And it's relying on what the Word says. It's believing the truth. That's meditating. But if you're thinking about, oh, this person treating me badly, and you're meditating on that, that's not meditating on the Lord, is it? It's meditating on a problem. Now, if you think about it and go, oh, but God, now you're meditating properly. So you're going to flip back and forth, but always bring it right back around to the truth of what God is saying about your situation, because that's how you walk. That's how you walk in integrity. That's how you walk in godly counsel, because you're listening to the Word. You see how you're already feeling like, wow, I'm being built up in faith because I'm going to start moving in this direction and God's going to really meet me. Absolutely He is, especially if you're His kid. Now, a lot of people say, well, we're all God's creation, and that's true, but we're not all His children. And the way that we become His children is if we've received Christ as our Savior, who gave us the ability to become children of God. It says that in the Word of God. And I believe this to be the infallible truth, because anything that I live and do, I got to weigh it against here. And I correct myself according to this Word by choosing what is good and right from what the Word speaks here. So we meditate day and night, even in our sleep. You know, I don't know how many times I've woke up in the middle of the night with a cold sweat because of a bad nightmare. Sometimes I do that. But here's the thing. Even in my night hour, I'll wake up from that and I'll go, wait a minute, Lord, You are good. I love You. You are precious. You are wonderful. And then I go right back to sleep. So even in the night watch, I praise the Lord and meditate on Him. And then in verse 3 it says, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season. Its leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Isn't that nice? Now, what we just talked about, those two conditions, is really walking in the counsel of godly, is your heart condition day and night, then you will be like a tree planted. See, there's a condition to being prosperous. And it says, whatever your hand does or whatever you do will prosper. This is the condition of that heart. If you truly serve God and love Him, and when you make a mistake, allow Jesus to wash it clean and continue walking and continue moving and to continue going forward in your faith, whatever you do will prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. So who are the ungodly? You know, ungodly can be Christians, because we're not believing the truth. We're not listening to the Holy Spirit. We're not listening to the guidance of the Lord and what He's wanting from us. And I like this verse 4. It says, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff. You know, in our lives, we all have chaff. Chaff is stuff that needs to be removed because it's causing our problems. You know, I have a little skit I like to do, and I'm going to be doing it at the conference coming up. Matter of fact, I'm going to be talking about that today. But I made these big boards about this big, and they have words across it. It says bitterness. The next one says unforgiving. The next one says retaliation, fear, anger. And I have all these boards that I've created. I'm going to have people from the volunteers coming from the attendees, and they're going to stand with these boards, and they're going to stand between a person and another person. And the example is going to be that this person needs to reconcile with this person, but all this stuff is in the way. How can you see a person over here clearly if you've got these boards of bitterness and anger and resentment and fear and jealousy all stuck between? You have to go like this to look around it to see the person clearly. But if you removed the chaff, which I'm talking about here. You remove this chaff, which is ungodliness, because again, a Christian can be ungodly if you've got these things in your heart. That's the truth. It's preventing you from really seeing that other person clearly. Isn't that what we want to do? Don't we want to see other people clearly? But what we're doing is we're looking through that, through our lens of those boards, bitterness, unresolved conflict, self-hatred, fear, jealousy, envy, all these strife and everything that we're looking through and trying to see that person clearly. It's not going to happen. But we have to get rid of the chaff. We do that through recognizing and repenting for what we see. And then thanking God for cleansing and purging us from all unrighteousness. You know, we have a lot of thoughts in our life, and they are filling our brain. And again, that could be some chaff. So we're thinking erroneously about somebody because we're seeing things through our own lens of rejection, abandonment. You know, one of the things that I know for a fact that if you feel rejection, here's the truth. Grab a hold of this one. If you ever feel rejection, I can guarantee you that you are emulating rejection. See? You're doing it to yourself. You know, if somebody comes along and you're rejecting yourself, they're going to walk by and so, you know, walk right past you because they sense some rejection and they don't want to feel it either. You know, so they just do this. And so you think everybody's rejecting you. No. The first thing that happens is you first rejected yourself. Now, initially, somebody might have rejected you and abandoned you, absolutely. But then you took it and began to reject yourself. And now that starts to, you know, make it bigger and make it more. And now you've got no friends and now they've left your side. Now, you know, all this stuff. We've got to turn that around. Get rid of the chaff. The chaff is recognizes what is in your heart. What is keeping you in rejection mode? Did somebody abandon you and leave you? What if you abandoned yourself? You think, oh, I'm so stupid. Nobody loves me. I hate myself. I just wish I was never alive. You've just abandoned and rejected yourself. So now you're going to, you know, assimilate that out into other people's lives. That's what they're going to see. You got to love yourself. We got to get rid of the chaff so that we can love ourselves. Because again, maybe you're seeing yourself through all this bitterness, anger, resentment, retaliation, regret. Regret's huge. That causes us to see ourselves ugly, okay? We need to see ourselves pure. We need to walk a pure life in our heart. I'm not saying perfect life. I'm talking pure. That means whenever we see something going on in our heart, we address it immediately. We take it to the Lord. We don't go, oh, I'm such a horrible Christian. I don't know what's happening to me. No, you say, Lord, I see what's going on now. And I need to come to grips with it. I need to come to you about it. And that's what talking about chaff is, getting rid of those things that are preventing you. Now, let's say that we get rid of the bitterness and resentment. How do we do that? We repent for it. We say, Lord, I have bitterness in my heart towards my friend. I have bitterness in my heart towards my husband, towards my spouse, towards my kids, towards my boss. You know, I have anger. I feel rejection. And all these things, you begin to confess to the Lord. And one by one, he pulls them out of the way. Now you can see that person clearly. It's like that scripture that says, take the beam out of your own eye so that you can see clearly the speck in your brother's eye. You might get rid of all that stuff in your heart. You might not even see anything in their eye after all, because what you've been looking at is your stuff through your own lens. That's the chaff we're talking about. We got to get rid of the chaff, people. And if you want help in getting rid of the chaff and you live in this area, which is the Sacramento Foothill area, I'm holding a conference called Restoring Your Life. It's our annual conference. This is going to be the last time we're going to be holding it at this hotel. We are going to actually be traveling around. We've got other conferences set up for next year already. We're going to travel around the United States and share what I'm talking to you about here. How to get rid of this chaff, how to really forgive, how to really love. And this is called Who, What, Where, When, How, and Why Conference. Do you need answers? That's what we're going to talk about. So it is going to be on October 13th at the Holiday Inn Express in El Dorado Hills. And it's from 9:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. We're going to have abundance of door prizes. We're going to actually have a silent auction with some pretty cool things, including a self-publishing book deal with myself. I do publish people's books for them and get it out on Amazon. So we're going to have that as one of the silent auction items. We're going to actually have some Barbie collectibles and some nice antiques, a really nice gift that we're going to be having fun with. Because, you know, all work and no play is not scriptural. You need to have a little fun in your life when we continue serving the Lord. If you do not enjoy yourself, what are you doing it for? What are you serving God for? What are you praying for? You know, sometimes we just pray to help, you know, other people change to make our lives happier. No, maybe we need to pray that we change. Maybe we need to start there. And that's how we get rid of this chaff. I had a woman call me a couple of days ago from Alabama. Really, she's 83 years old. I talked to her husband as well. They've been married 62 years. She's been a Christian for almost 19 years now. She came across my website and she has ordered almost all my books. Talked to her the other day. She goes, I've got to tell you this, Linda. I've got to tell you something. I have to tell you how much you have changed my life. That your books, your ministry has been tremendous, and that you're helping hundreds and hundreds of people, that it is so needed. Please never stop. She did it in her little, you know, twangy voice, little 83-year-old woman. And she is like my mama, because my mom is with the Lord now, and so she's like my mama. I've never met her personally. I hope to one day. But she just encouraged me as a mother would to a daughter. And that's what we're talking about here. What are we doing on this world to really change lives and matter to people? See, the Lord knows the way of the righteous. God knows what I'm doing. And when she called me, I was in the process of thinking, why am I even doing any of this? Nobody really cares. And when she told me, Linda, keep on keeping on, that was an answer to prayer. That was God saying, no, Linda, you are not done. You are not done. My husband even said that this morning when we were talking, he said, Linda, you're just starting. I'm going, what? I've been doing this for almost 22 years and I'm just now starting. So we are so excited. And if you do want to come to the conference, please contact me. I will give you a free ticket. If you call the number at the bottom of your screen, 530-620-4641, I will give you a free ticket. And I will also do group tickets as well. It's a $20 fee, but I'm going to waive it for you watching this program and contacting me. So I hope you do come. We're going to be having a lot of fun things there too as well, along with a continental breakfast. And I'm going to be leading worship with another lady. I think you're going to really enjoy that. We have ministry time. We have three speakers, including myself. And we have books and just a fantastic event going to happen for you. The most important thing, though, is that you meet the Lord and in your need be met and your questions answered. And I believe we're going to be able to do that for you. And again, the Lord knows the ways of the righteous. Because as that woman was telling me to keep on keeping on, I was thinking, well, maybe I don't even need to be doing these conferences anymore. And the truth was, I do. I need to keep going. Sometimes we need a little encouragement from one another. So if that is you right now, and you're watching, and you're like, I don't know what I'm doing with my life. I just don't want to do nothing no more. I would encourage you to keep on keeping on. Give me a phone call. I'll pray with you about it. So, but the ungodly shall perish. You know, the ungodly, again, can be a believer who doesn't believe. Because the Bible says you will have what you believe. So if I believe I'm not going to get well, if I believe that nobody's going to use me in ministry, I'm never going to get off the ground with this business, my kids are going to all turn out junky later in life, that's what you're going to get because that's what you believe. We have to change our belief and turn it upside down and start believing the unbelievable. Because let's say you believe the unbelievable and get half. That's better than getting nothing, right? So take your thoughts captive. The Bible tells us to take our thoughts captive daily. Think about what you're thinking about. Are you thinking about what you can do? Or are you thinking about what God can do? Because he can do all things and we can do all things with him because of the strength he puts in us. So if you are a child of God, a true child of God, know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, these promises for you are for you. Now, if you do not know the Lord Jesus as your Savior and you want to have these promises working in your life, then simply say, Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. I believe you're the Son of God. In Jesus' name, amen. It's simple. There is no sinner's prayer in the Bible. There's no prayer to say, Lord, please come into my life. Save me. No, it's just having a little talk with the Lord. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. That's the simplicity of it. You don't have to do some big ritual. You do want to follow up with some baptism at a local church if you want. I do have availability here at my home that I do baptism in our river. So if you're interested in being baptized in a river or a local lake, give us a call. I baptize people all the time. Well, I am going to end in the Psalms here, because that's Psalms 1, and we'll get into Psalm 2 next time. But again, if you want to see these things working in your life, if you want to grab a hold of the things that God has shown me, come to this conference. And again, it's October 13th. It's at 9:30. It starts at 9:30 with a continental breakfast. We start worship at 10, and we're only going to do a few songs, and we go right into understanding the importance of relationships. Because again, Matthew 22, 38 through 40 talks about the relationship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, yourself and others. If we don't have that foundation strong and true, if we have problems with our friends, if we have difficulty telling the truth to one another, if we have a problem with a family member and it's just eating at us and our thinking keeps on messing with us and we're not at peace about it, this is the place to be, because we are going to once and for all teach you how to have a relationship with every person in your life in peace. To be able to tell the truth to each other without fear of retaliation is huge. So you gotta come to this conference. So I hope you do. Well, again, we're gonna close for today. I hope that this passage of scripture blessed you to be able to walk in the godliness, which is the truth. To be able to meditate day and night, that means to think about God and put him on your heart and mind every second of the day, whether you're at work, whether you're not. And when you mess up, you have Jesus as an advocate to pick you up and forgive you and move you back on. We are to walk, not sit, not twiddle our thumbs, not click the clicker on the television. We are to walk, and that means faith is working. Well, God bless you, and let me pray for you. Father, we thank you for a timely word, a word of hope, a word of truth. I'm asking you to minister to every heart, that they will be able to glean from this Psalm chapter 1, of a righteous person is a person with a pure heart, not perfect, because that's why Jesus is here, so that he can forgive us of any imperfectness, but that our pure heart will be that we meditate on you, that we love you, that we desire you, that we want to, that we have a desire to follow you, because we're not going to do it 100% right, but we have a desire in our heart. That is a pure heart. That is a person that's righteous, and that everything we touch then will prosper. I pray prosperity for every person that touches their job, their children, their work, their church, their lives, their health, that it prospers and becomes better than it was before they even began to trust you and believe you for these very things. And I give you all the praise in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.